Friends, we turn from the prophet Isaiah to the gospel according to Luke, and we pick up in the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel. It begins with the 14th verse, and there Luke writes, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So for the past 2 weeks, we have been exploring identity here at TPC, how important it is to understand our own individual identities as disciples of Christ, but also how important it is to understand our shared communal identity here as Towson Presbyterian Church. 2 weeks ago, we explored the importance of baptism, how baptism reveals who we truly are. It's at the font that we see and we hear how blessed we are, claimed, redeemed, beloved by God. It's not that God only loves those who are baptized, not at all, but in baptism we get to see and hear what has always been true. So when this world tries to tell us otherwise, when this world tries to get us to doubt our worth or tries to belittle our identity, our baptism reminds us to say, "Try all you want, world, but I know exactly who I am. I belong to God, and my name is Beloved." We talked about the fullness and the freedom this brings. The fullness and freedom of not needing to be anything other than who we truly are, God's beloved. For knowing our worth and knowing our identity, we are set free to live life as fully as God intends. Now, it's certainly not a coincidence that it wasn't until after his baptism that Jesus, for the very first time, went public with his ministry, finally telling the world exactly who he was and what he'd come to do. As Luke tells it, once Jesus had been baptized and finished his time in the wilderness, the very first thing he did was to begin preaching in the synagogues. He was such an amazing preacher, Luke says, that word spread throughout all of Galilee. So by the time he arrived in his hometown of Nazareth, Jesus knew why the folks lined up to get into the synagogue that day. They were there because they had already heard of this hometown boy turned prophet, and they wanted to see for themselves just who Jesus was turning out to be. So when it came time to read and preach, as Joel shared with our children, Jesus turned to a specific passage from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Want to know who Jesus is? Want to know what he was called to do? He makes it exceptionally clear here at the beginning of Luke. "The Spirit of the Lord upon me. I'm anointed to bring good news to others, to proclaim justice, to fight oppression, to offer wholeness." And then to make sure that nobody misunderstood exactly what he was saying, he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, you are hearing me bring this good news. Today, you are witnessing me work to fight against oppression. Today, you are witnessing me seek to mend the broken. This is who I am, Jesus said. So this is what I must do. Here in Luke 4, he says what the rest of the gospel seeks to lay out. Who is Jesus? What does he do? In many ways, the next chapters, beginning with chapter 5 all the way through the end of Luke, simply explain Jesus' identity and how he sought to live out who he was. So as we've been exploring these past 2 weeks, as followers of the one who makes plain his identity and his mission, what he was called to do, we would do very well to clarify exactly who we are and what we are called to do, TPC. So as we've shared now a couple times, this is in large part what the governing board of our church has been up to for the past year and a half, conducting interviews and collecting surveys designed to explore what our membership believes we are called to be and do. And these interviews and surveys offer the foundation from which the communication team identified 4 key words we talked about 2 weeks ago, 4 key values to describe our community: inclusive, curious, compassionate, and courageous. These are 4 traits that we're called to include in all of our ministries. But more than this, Session also pursued a better understanding of both our strengths and our weaknesses. And as I mentioned last week, it's worth reiterating today, TPC has many strengths, a long-standing legacy of doing an awful lot of ministry incredibly well. Mission and outreach, children's and youth ministries, our music ministry, this list goes on and on. The strong church we are today stands on the legacy of all the good and faithful hearts and hands that have served before. And yet, just as no single person has every good gift, just as no single person can be all things or do all things, neither can any single local community of faith. We need to be honest about this. Having weaknesses isn't a bad thing. We just need to be aware of them. But here's the thing. When Session examined who we are and who folks believe we are becoming, we had 4 general areas of weakness that could potentially stand in the way of TPC continuing to become that inclusive and curious, compassionate, courageous community of faith we believe we're called to be. So as we did last week, I would again invite you to take out the insert that's in your morning bulletin. It's the same one we shared last week, actually. It is a summary of the 2018 Visioning Report. You can find the full report on our website, towsonpres.org. But on this summary version, on the front page with the logo, you'll see about halfway down the subheader summation of key findings. And there you'll see some of our biggest strengths, but you'll also note some of our greater weaknesses. And immediately below those, you'll see what Session learned were most folks' greatest hopes for our church: quantitative growth, meaning membership and attendance and the like, and then qualitative growth, meaning increased mission and outreach and increased faith formation. Now, last week, we talked about 2 important new initiatives that are designed to facilitate greater qualitative growth. And you can find those if you flip the page. You'll see, moving forward, 4 new initiatives. Last week, we talked about adult spiritual formation and intergenerational or family ministries. So for brevity's sake today, I won't dig into these again. Rather, I hope to draw your attention this morning to the 2 below that. One Sessions has named communications evolution, and then sharing the good news. Both of these initiatives are aimed at helping us do a better job of sharing our stories here at Towson Presbyterian, sharing our identity with those around us, inviting others to share in the transformational good news of God's love as we experience it here at TPC. So to these ends, some of you know that this past fall Session created a new communications team. Their job is admittedly a big one, as they strive to help us better utilize 21st century communication modalities so that we can better communicate with the 21st century world around us. A new website is in its final stages of creation. A new social media plan is in the works. Photos and videos and more are on the horizon. And I, for one, am incredibly excited to see where this takes us because I know the stories we have to share here, friends. I know the stories we have to share here, and they are beautiful and exciting and in many ways life-changing. But we shouldn't be surprised by that because the good news of Jesus Christ always is. It's why this new initiative is so important. We simply can't share our identities. We can't share our stories with those around us if we're not communicating in ways that people will hear or see us. I mean, we can't pretend that we still live in a day and an age when all the church had to do was open its front doors and people would simply come in, or the folks out there even really have a clear understanding of who the church is or what the church does. So we can't limit our communication to modalities that assume folks come to worship every week. We can't pretend that bulletin announcements get into everybody's hands or that our newsletter is read by everyone, because we know it's not. In fact, we know who opens up the electronic link to the newsletter and who doesn't. Now, this doesn't mean we're going to stop sharing things like bulletin announcements, not at all. It simply means the changes needed in order to share our life and our stories, both with each other, but also the community around us. What makes it even more challenging, though, is that most folks today, they don't know much about the good news we celebrate. I mean, even if they think they know about Christianity, they may be Christian. That doesn't mean they know how TPC celebrates the good news of belonging to God, the good news of being loved, the good news of having our wrongs forgiven and forgotten, the good news of having our brokenness mended, the good news of belonging to a community that accepts us as we are, the good news of practicing faith with people who forgive us when we mess up and support us when we're down, the good news of getting to practice what it means to love, the good news of growing closer to God as we explore what faith is with those who are also searching, the good news of uncovering the joy within generosity, the good news of knowing that we're not only blessed with an identity, but with a purpose that comes with it, the good news of understanding that just as Jesus was called to bring this good news to others, so we too are called to bring good news to others. This, friends, is why sharing the good news is also such an important new initiative for us. We simply can't be the church without it. We can't pretend as if this doesn't sit at the center of who Christ was or what he did, just as it stands as the very last thing he ever charged his disciples to do. Go and share the good news. Make disciples of all nations. But I get the resistance. I really do. I get the resistance and have long shared it, frankly. Sharing the good news isn't just uncomfortable for some. It can also be scary. After all, good news translated back into the Greek is euangelion, or evangelism. Evangelism means good news. Sharing the good news is evangelism. So isn't it tragic that this word evangelism that means good news has come to be thought of as anything but good by so many? Isn't it tragic that even within the church at times, when we think of evangelism, we think not of grace or love or mercy, but of things like exclusion or judgment or even condemnation, all things we at TPC strive against? Again, as a community that values inclusion and curiosity and compassion, judgment and exclusion are antithetical to what we believe. So when we speak of evangelism within this new initiative called Sharing the Good News, right, please know that this does not equate to the evangelical movement or evangelical politics, not at all. This has nothing to do with condemning those who disagree with us, nor will this ever entail going around and proselytizing or trying to convert folks to our way of thinking. Rather, as far as we can see, the call to share the good news of Jesus Christ means we need to be more intentional in forming relationships with those beyond our walls, in the community at large. Sharing the good news means we need to do a better job of listening to the fears and the needs and the brokenness around us in order to faithfully offer not what we want to give, but what is actually truly needed. Sharing the good news also means loosening up our faith lips. It means being willing to talk about things like love and grace and acceptance. But perhaps most of all, sharing the good news means building a culture that doesn't simply welcomes folks to TPC, as important as it is to welcome, but actually the call to bring good news means we are called to invite. It means we simply don't permit others to come. It means we work to invite them to come so that they will know TPC is a place that will love and accept them and hold them by the hand as they uncover for themselves the love God has for them. After all, Jesus wasn't called to tell the good news. He was called to bring it. Bring the good news. So it's not enough to simply sit here and hope people will learn about God's love via osmosis. That's not how the kingdom grows. That's not what the disciples did. Rather, our call is to help people uncover their invitation to join the feast Christ has prepared for us and for them. Folks need to be invited. That's the way grace gets shared. That's the way peace grows. That's the way the kingdom of God expands here through Towson Presbyterian Church. It's the way we continue becoming that inclusive, curious, compassionate, courageous community of faith God calls us to be. I thank God for this community of faith, and I am so excited by the journey we share. Amen.